Baseball family, this week we are going to talk about the Olympics. We've got trade talks and our picks for what walk-up music should be right now.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast. I am Brig, and per the most huge, we got the Bradmaster with us here on that side. Brad, you moved on me.
Stop it. On your left, I'm here.
We are excited to get into today's discussion. We have a lot to discuss, and we have some pretty wild and fun to get into at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for our shenanigans. It's going to be a lot of fun. First things first, we have got to talk about Cleveland. We have to. We can't. Everybody's beat it to death, but we didn't yet. Not publicly. So we're going to do that.
Yeah.
It's our turn now. So listen, the Cleveland baseball team, we all know, has moved away from the Indians. They're no longer going to be called the Indians. Chief Wahoo left already. But now they have decided they are going to be the Cleveland Guardians. And it is official. And they have uniforms and logos and everything. Color scheme has stayed the same. And Brad has a lot of opinions on the matter. So do I. Brad, why don't you take it away, buddy?
So my first thought was, I was very confused by the name and everything about it. The name, the logo, all of it. Literally, my very first thought was, this feels very AA to me. Like, specifically AA. Not
right.
High A, not AAA, not just generally minor league. It feels very AA.
Yeah.
And so I kind of sat on that, and it marinated with me for a little while. And then I was like, oh, I know why. The color scheme. It's the same or very similar to that of the Greenville Drive. Happens to be Briggs' hometown team currently.
Bingo.
And then also there's that logo, the baseball with the G's on the side with the wings and everything. That felt like the Greenville Drive logo. The G, I don't know if it's supposed to be a wing, like as the G cuts back, you know? But it kind of looks like to me, so I like it. And kind of along the same lines as that logo that they've chosen with the G and the wing on and everything. So, and then my other thought with it was that it felt very clip arty. Like,
for sure.
They got an intern or a middle schooler who said, they said, make us a logo real quick. It's okay, get these pieces, put them together. And that's what they came up with. And I hope it's a placeholder, but I don't know that you necessarily launch your brand with a placeholder logo. So,
no.
I'm curious what's going forward.
Well, thank you for assessing that. Why don't you tell, Brad is the one who informed us as what the significance of the Guardians are. And apparently there are a pair of statues in Cleveland that are traffic guardians. Right, Brad?
Yeah, they call them the Guardians of Traffic. And when I first saw that, and I think that's probably your reaction when I told you that they were the Guardians of Traffic, I was like, what does that even mean?
Traffic? Like traffic? Like cars stuck together like on the road because they can't leave?
Yeah, so the statues, they have like, no, they can't leave. But the statues have like a car with it. Like it's like them holding like some era of a vehicle or a car. And this is my thing with it. First off, because those statues, they actually look really cool. I looked them up. They look awesome, I feel like. And they look like, if anybody's watched the show Loki on Disney Plus, they look like the timekeepers. I would have taken that and I would have run with it rather than a G with baseball with wings.
I'm telling you, man.
You call it the Thor logo, right?
It looks like Thor's helmet.
It does, very much so, yes.
And I'm like, not even that kind of person, right? Like, that's the first thing.
On this show.
You are the Marvel nerd, which is totally cool. I dig that. And I dig the films, whatever. But that's the first thing I thought of when I saw the G logo. I'm with you. It's Bush. It's so bad. It's somebody who is completely disconnected from, I think, the fan base, from the city itself. Who in the world let this happen? First of all, that's the biggest mistake. But whose idea was it, and why do they still have a job? I'm utterly indignant. I could not be more upset about this. I'm not a Cleveland fan, but I'm a fan of baseball. This is bad for baseball. This makes a mockery of franchising and baseball.
So, and this is the other thing I thought of. Was like, if those statues really are that big to deal with the people in Cleveland, go ahead, go for it. I'm not a Cleveland fan. I don't really care. I would have preferred them to be called the Spiders or the Blue Sox. Jason and I talked about that the other day. I'm not another sports
100%. Like, yes.
Yeah, that's great. But if those statues really mean that much to people in Cleveland, that's fine. But do better on the logo. In fact, this is something I learned today, Brig. This is very interesting. There is a co-ed professional roller derby team in Cleveland called the Guardians. And their logo, a lot of people were like, well, this is what they should have used. But I think that there might be some issues there. I don't know. I was reading the article, and it said that neither the baseball team nor the roller derby team, like, they both refused to comment. So to me, reading between the lines, that says that there might be an issue there. Not just with the logo, but with the team name itself.
Well, so good.
I don't know if they'll always be the Guardians. If I were the roller derby team, I don't know that there would necessarily be a dollar amount that would like make me want to get rid of the team name, unless it was enough for everybody on the team to be able to retire comfortably for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Not just roller derby, but period. Like,
yeah,
I want
exactly.
a beach house on the moon
with
my name on it.
Yes.
So I don't have to do roller derby anymore. Like, that's the kind of number I'd be looking for, to be honest with you. And it's not gonna happen. So it'll be interesting to see if the name persists or if it happens to change.
You know, the guys on PTI brought up a really great point. They said, you've got all this rich history, you've got all this nostalgia, you've got with the Spiders and even the Blue Sox, that you could bring in and you could revitalize all of it. You could turn on all of this history and all of this. It's what has almost become folklore, right? And you could start it over again. And I'm like, why would you screw this up? What is wrong? It's so simple.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing that's funny is that so the Spiders were originally the Blues, and then they were the Spiders, and then that franchise, that's not the Indians. That's not the current Cleveland franchise. That was,
no, for sure.
That was something else. But then when the team did come back, they were the Blues again, even for like a season, and then they were the Nats because of your favorite, Nat LeJoie. But no, like, yeah, go back to your origins and be some variation of the Blues. Be the Blue Sox. Be the Blues themselves. It doesn't matter that there's the St. Louis Blues. I'm sure they don't care about the same sport.
Nope.
But,
All right, let's move on.
Take that swing and a miss. Let's move on.
All right, so question came up online this week, and it was posed to us by Alexander Trout. Thanks, Alexander. Should MLB allow players to play in the Olympics? That's the question. Brad was kind of fuming about this. He's got a lot of things to say, so I'm going to make him wait, and I'm going to tell him what I think first.
That's fine.
Just because. I will tell you that I think they already are allowed to play. Todd Frazier's there, okay? So there are MLB players in there. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was going to say he's a free agent.
I know, but he's a Major League Baseball player.
He is. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. But I think the real question is, every 4 years when this happens, should that season be on pause so that we can field the most appropriate team to represent not only the sport but the United States at the same time, to release all those other players to play for their countries as well, so that we can have accurate representation, right? So we can have a really great exactly. So that's what I think that's the real question. Should we pause the season every 4 years and we can call it the All-Star break, right? We shift it over, maybe. I don't know. Who we could do without the All-Star break for a big every four-year Olympic event like this. Everybody goes home, plays with their home team. We take a month and a half off, and we're all ramping up and getting ready for international competition. I like the idea. I think it's terrific. I think if it was every year, it would be bad. But because it's every 4 years with the pageantry and all the majesty of the Olympics and everything it's supposed to be, that's exactly what should happen. When they When the Dream Team happened in basketball in the 90s, it was the greatest thing that happened to basketball in the history of basketball. Could be the greatest thing to happen to baseball. I don't know.
Well, it could be because we're still feeling the ripple effect of the Dream Team.
Of course.
Like, the U.S. men's basketball team is losing because of the Dream Team. Like, yep. That is a direct result of that. So there's that. Okay. That's not something I had thought about really until you brought up that point just now, that it could go a long way to growing Major League Baseball. But that's what we have the World Baseball Classic for.
World Baseball Classic. Got it.
I will say this, is that's not going to draw in the same kind of audience that the Olympics will, because that draws in the hardcore baseball fans, right?
Yep.
Or the people who just want to support their country in baseball. It's not going to bring in the people who are like, I'm watching the Olympics just because I'm watching the Olympics. And my thing is like, for some, I don't watch the Olympics.
What?
We watch water polo and swimming because those are the two sports my wife did in high school, and it's the only time we get to watch them. So we watch water polo and swimming. That's it. And she's been out of town, so I haven't turned on the Olympics at all.
Oh, bro.
But anyways, so my thing is, no, I don't think that they should. And it's not necessarily just, it's not because like I want to maintain the purity of the Olympics, because the IOC is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world. And I've heard of FIFA, by the way, so I know what goes on there. But so there's no purity to be maintained with amateurism, whatever, because amateurism is a fallacy
created
by Home Depot with the Olympics. Not entirely created by Home Depot, but I've been telling this to Brig all day. So, Brig, here's your answer. This is why Home Depot has ruined the image of Olympic athletes for people, because every two years, actually, because they run the commercial during the Winter Olympics and during the Summer Olympics, where they say that such and such percentage of athletes work at Home Depot while they're training for the Olympics because they need the income. Like, okay, that's fine, but there is such thing as professional athletes who compete in the Olympics. I happen to know one very well. Her name is Kara Winger. She throws the javelin. This is, what did I say before, her fifth Olympics?
I think you said fifth.
Fifth, yeah. Her first one was Beijing in 08, so, and she's been every year since.
Yeah.
She is a professional athlete. She's a professional track athlete. She gets paid to compete in the European circuit every single year. She has sponsorships. She is a legitimate professional athlete. So I just want people to know that when they're saying, no, we'll save it for the amateurs, because my beard shakes.
No,
yeah. That's not what's going on here. And you brought up the point too, Brig, that with boxing, like, it's the amateur boxers who go to the Olympics. But other countries, their professional boxers are the ones who are going to the Olympics.
Well, the stipulation there is that USA Boxing does not pay their athletes. There's no compensation there. But, you know, the Russian Federation of Boxing or whatever it is, and French boxers, you know, maybe they're, I know a lot of other countries are getting paid just to support their country's hopes for Olympic gold. That's all it is. And the U.S. does not do it. They're against it. I don't know why. And now they're not even wearing headgear. And I'm like, why? You're not going to pay these people to be in the ring and get their faces pounded in every couple of days? Not just every 6 months like it is in professional boxing, but every couple of days in the Olympics, you're going to go get in a car wreck for, you know, three-minute rounds. It's like getting in a car wreck.
Yeah. It is. But no, so.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Back to baseball.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that they should, just because you can't take that long of a break in baseball.
But you're not breaking. This is what I'm saying. You're not.
You talked about being on the break. Take a month.
Yeah,
month
I know.
You can't do that. You can't do
Yes,
that.
You can. Yes, you can. Because you're still getting game time. Pitchers are still throwing from the mound. You're still getting bullpen sessions. You're still scrimmaging. Everything is still happening, right? You're just not with your team. And it only happens every 4 years. And we're talking about – well, so of course. So they're going to have to hang out in minor league ball where everybody else is, or they're going to be doing bullpen sessions at home. I know it's a stretch. I understand that. But I'm saying – the game will grow internationally without these ridiculous pageant shows or dog and pony shows like we had in London with the Yankees and the Red Sox, right? Like, that was absurd. Everything about that was absurd. This is how you grow the sport internationally. This is how we get to see what is actually happening in Australia and the KBO and other places like that. And we get to let our team, our players from the Major League Baseball, go to their and represent their home countries. I love it. I love everything about it.
And I agree with you. It would grow the game, but you can't take that long off, because there's a major trickle down effect. Guys who don't go to the Olympics, like you said, they go to their minor league camps. They go play with the minor league team, or they go back to their house and they throw bullpens or they take batting practice. Major League Baseball missed April, May, June, July, 4 months last year.
Yeah.
And not everybody's doing that in their time off.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but do you want to be good or not?
Right. No, and I understand that. And a lot of guys do understand that. But at the same time, they're like, well, I'll get my VP in the morning, just like I would at a regular workout. But I'm not going to go throw in the afternoon. I'm not going to go take, four more rounds of VP in the evening because that's going to be my regular schedule. No, I'm going to go. So I hang out, I'm going to go to the club because I'm not working right now. Guys are going to take advantage of the time off. And when they come back, when the season does start up again in August or September or whatever, they're not going to be in game shape anymore. It's going to be like spring training or April baseball all over again. And it's not going to, and that part would not be good for the game at all. I don't feel like you can hit pause on a season for that long. And it's only 16.
Yeah, exactly.
In the baseball side of the Olympics, which would be a large representation from Major League Baseball, but at the same time, I don't think it's worth breaking for that short of a period. So that's just me.
Okay. Well,
and if there are guys like Ian Kinsler and Adam and Todd Frazier who want to go play for their teams, that's fine because they're free agents. Ian Kinsler's retired, so good on him.
Yeah,
keep him busy.
Yeah, no, and I think it's a great stage for them to do that. So you're right on that end. Let's talk trades, okay? Rumors.
I almost said Adam rumors. Fraser.
What?
I almost said Adam Fraser instead of Todd Fraser. He was getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. No, the Todd father. We all know who he meant. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So let's talk. Yeah. There's tons of stuff going on in the trade world right now, but surprisingly less than I thought at this point. I thought by now, things would start to really have picked up, and they haven't. I can't figure out why, but but maybe there's just not enough talent out there, right? The needs are there, but people aren't letting them go, right?
Right, and I think part of that is the teams are like, we've got our guy. We want to have a foundation, right? That I'm actually surprised, honestly. Surprised that the Pirates were willing to trade away Adam Frazier the way that they did. Because I was actually watching the game last week, I think it was, and one of the broadcasters, he's like, at some point, you've got to have a guy you can build around. You've got to have a guy who the fans are familiar with, who is the face of the franchise, even when you're losing.
Yep.
And they said, Frazier's got to be that guy, and then they go and trade him. So
that was Bryce Harper, though, in Washington. They did the same thing.
Well, they didn't trade him, though. He left as a free agent.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's a different circumstance. And, they offered him a deal and he didn't take it. But
yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
No, I feel like teams that trade away their franchise guys are just hurting themselves, because you can continue to lose if you have a likable player who people are familiar with. Kyle Seager in the cornerstone of the Mariners for 10 years now. And people are like, trade Seager, he's washed up, he's over the hill, blah, 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 whatever. They're like, no, we're going to hold on to him because everything, you still like him. He's a likable guy. He's good. So it is surprising that there are certain teams that are willing to make the deals with those guys. So.
Yeah, I agree. So, Chafin, I think we can securely say he's in Oakland now from the Chicago Cubs. Has he moved over all the way?
I don't know. Let me double check that. Last I saw is that they were finalizing the deal.
I thought it was a lock, but who knows?
You're probably right. But yeah, so Chafin's going to be – so I have 1 hour ago, A's close to acquiring Chafin. But I think at that point, if anything falls apart, it's going to be because of technicality. But I'm actually very upset about this.
Yeah, you are.
Because I saw firsthand how terrible the A's bullpen is, and I don't want them to get better. I really hope it falls apart in the 11th hour, and it doesn't work out. He stays in Chicago and maybe even goes to New York or something. I don't care. Just not to the A's.
Hey, back off. Listen, we got other problems.
Well, you need a
bullpen. Unless you're talking about the Mets. What?
No, I'm talking about the Yankees. The Yankees need a bullpen.
Oh, I know. We got a lot of money problems, though. I'm just glad his mustache is going to stay in the league. That's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
It is tremendous. Let's just be super clear about that. The Yankees, speaking of the Royal We, the Yankees made an offer for Trevor Story. No word on whether or not it's been accepted or if it's going to go, but it has been offered. We'll see. Adam Frazier was traded to the Padres. That's, you talked about it. It's kind of a surprising thing. Cool. And then
that makes all-star at third base, all-star at shortstop, all-star at second base.
It sure does.
That is and not just defensive all-stars. Those are two-way all-stars, all three of those guys. The Padres are not messing around. I mean, we knew that at the beginning of the season, but now they're doubling down on that. So
they really are.
Look out.
And then we think that the Nationals and the Cubs are pretty much doing fire sales at this point.
The headline I saw said that the Nats were everybody was available, even Trey Turner. Is available.
What? I'm
taking a lot of calls on Trey Turner. So
about Juan Soto?
Well, I was going to say, I think Juan Soto was the only guy who was untouchable at this point. But honestly, if I'm the Nats, like I would say, okay, you pitched me the perfect offer for Soto. I'm keeping Turner at this point. You know?
Okay. That makes sense.
If somebody's willing to sell me the farm for Soto, I would do it.
But it's one or the other.
Since they just won World Series 2 years ago. Yes. Yeah. One or the other.
It can't be both. No. No. Okay, so Brad, what's one player that your team, the Seattle Mariners, should get rid of?
Should get rid of? I think the Mariners could trade Taylor Trammell. As much as I like him, I do like the guy. But I think that he is a good trade piece, honestly. Either him or Luis Torrens. Torrens has been hitting really well lately. He's still a minus behind the plate when he is actually catching. That's why they got him DHing. But I think, honestly, actually, you know, maybe Torrens is the guy you deal because anybody you bring in, they've got plenty of guys they can platoon with the DH position, especially now that I'm going to get real deep with you. Fraley's back, and Kyle Lewis will be back next month, I'm sure. So,
okay.
Anyway, what about you, Rick?
Who are you going after?
Who am I going after?
Yeah.
Realistically, Whit Merrifield, I think, is a good one. He's a second baseman, and that's kind of been a rotating position for the Mariners this year.
Yep.
Had Dylan Moore playing there primarily, but he's still sub 200 batting average right now, which he comes through when it matters, but he's not going to start anything for you typically. So if you can get a guy in there who can actually hit consistently at second base, Dylan Moore could be more of a utility guy and then with the speed come into the pinch runner and actually be a really good impact player in those situations. But yeah, I'd like to see the Mariners get Whit Merrifield. And from what I understand, that's a move that they're trying to make. So I think that would be really cool. What about you, Rick? Cool. I think I know who you would like the Yankees to get rid of.
Yep. You mean after Aaron Boone? Or maybe we should wait till the end of the season. But Giancarlo Stanton's got to go, man. He's got to go. And here's the thing about Stanton. This is what's going to happen. He's the car everybody thinks is a lemon, but he's just in the wrong the mechanic shop. That's all it is. He's gonna go to a different club with a different culture, different climate, different standards, whatever it is, and he's gonna turn it around. And he's gonna start thriving again, and everybody's gonna say, "Well, what? Where were you in New York?" And nobody has the answers. We did it to Sonny Gray, right? We did it. We do it to everybody. That's what happens in New York. I don't know why.
In Seattle too. Guys forget how to hit in Seattle all the time.
It's so crazy.
I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Sometimes we just chew people up.
Change. It's just an environment change, and I think that would be really good for him. I think you're right. That he's not a bad player. He just hasn't been performing.
But we can't have the profit and loss sheet is heavily weighted in the red right now because of him. We got to get him off the books, and we got to pick up somebody like Trevor Story for him. Now, I don't think Stanton is going to end up in Colorado. That's never going to happen. Right. That would be kind of cool to see.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine how many balls he would hit out of that park?
That's what I'm saying. It would be fun to watch. But, yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen. If something like that goes down, it's a three-way trade. It's got to be like that Minnesota-Chicago thing that we did. Yeah, it would have to be some crazy three-way deal. But either way, I would like to see us pick up Trevor Story. I know we've made offers twice now. I don't know what's going on, but we need a solid third baseman. I mean, we just have to, and he can play there. But we also need a solid shortstop, and he's great at shortstop. So I don't know. I think that right now the Yankees just need people who can be whoever we need them to be that day. And DJ LeMahieu is a great example. It's kind of opened our eyes, kind of that Ben Zobrist model. I think Trevor Story brings the same kind of energy to the table and the same type of, you know, like he can move around. So, and then we can let our younger guys like Gio Urshela take time to really develop instead of being thrown into the refiner's fire so much like he has last couple of seasons. It's just rough right now. But we got to get rid of Stanton, and Stanton needs to go for his own sake at this point. You ever had a job you hated so bad you just couldn't bring yourself to perform? That's the energy I'm picking up from him right now, right? Like he's miserable, and it's coming through, and he's sticking his chin out, and he's doing his thing, and he's trying to fake the funk. But ultimately, I think he is completely miserable, and if he doesn't get out of there, it's going to hurt him as much as anybody else.
Yeah. Well, I said a couple weeks ago that a team that just needs a bat should make a deal for him. You need him to come through once or twice in the playoffs for you, and that is it. And if he does that, your investment has paid off. Because if he hits the go-ahead home run in a crucial game in the playoffs, you're like, it's worth it right there. It's totally worth it for me. He can strike out every team. I don't care. But if he hits it when it matters, I'm fine.
Couple weeks ago, we talked about his performance between the regular season last year and the postseason last year, and how he really does show up in the playoffs. So if you're on your way to making a run, and like Chicago, maybe the White Sox pick him up. I don't know. That would be wild. But, who knows, right? But, I mean, that's the guy that's like, you know what? We need you right now. So you substitute him in. He takes care of business. That's all he's there for. Everybody knows it. It's fine. Right? He stands out looking pretty in the outfield when he's done. And you get a couple innings of him kicking dandelions around, and it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not bitter. I'm not as bitter as I was with Jacoby Ellsbury.
I think that's a good spot for him. I hadn't thought about it until you said it just now. Chicago is a great spot for him right now.
I'm just saying. They need a little. I mean, they're killing it right now. They don't need anything. But if they were going to need anything, this is not a bad thing to get. That's all.
Well, and you can never have too many bats.
No.
Like, really?
No. Even a twitchy one.
Even a twitchy one. Yep. Anyway, let's go take a break. When we get back, we're going to do some walk-up music. Welcome back, baseball family. So we have a fun little activity that we're going to do today. Brig and I love walk-up music. It's music in general, but walk-up music is a big part of baseball, and we think it's fantastic. So we wanted to do another episode that had to do with walk-up music, and so what we decided to do is we're going to make assignments for stars. And when we first talked about this idea, it's like, what constitutes a star? And we kind of thought for a few minutes, and we said, an all-star.
Duh.
Somebody who is named to the all-star team. Hello. It's that easy.
Yep.
So what we're going to do is we each picked five all-stars, and we chose a walk-up song for them. I don't know about you, Brick, but I did not choose All-Star by Smash Mouth.
I didn't either.
Okay. Good. For so many reasons. Good. Okay.
Woo, I'll tell you what, though.
Also, Brig has some thoughts about the way we're doing this segment. Brig, the floor is yours.
Well, listen here. I'm just really upset that we can't play you even just 8 to 10, 15 seconds of these songs. Brad made it very clear that that was illegal or something. And I just think that's criminal. So call your alderman and get them to change the law for us so that we can play what we think is fair use, okay, what Brig thinks is fair use of the music. We are going to sample them. We wanted to sample them for you, but we can't because there's some kind of thing about the thing with the stuff. So because of words in laws, we're not going to be able to do that. What we are going to do is circumnavigate that a little bit, and we'll be posting our stuff to TikTok. If the songs are available on TikTok, then we'll overlay some video and stuff like that. So, because we can do that, apparently.
We can. Yeah, I don't know how we can do it there. Can't do it. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, all right. So, Brig, why don't you give us your first one? How about that?
Okay. This is in order at this point because this is the easiest one for me to come up with. So I went with Vlad Jr. and okay. I just easily assigned him the notorious B.I.G.'s Big Papa. And it just feels right. I think we can all agree on that. And you got to start the song at 1:07. That's when he'll be approaching the plate.
Okay.
1:07.
Now you mentioned that, Brig, I think there's something that we will do, and this is what we did when we did our actual Walk It Music episode, is we'll put the link to the YouTube video down in the doobly-doo. I'll put it at 1:07 so you can listen to see what exactly Brig is talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Brad.
Navigate, Brig.
That's right. We're going to get around it. It's going to be okay. We're delivering.
A little bit.
All right, Brad.
All right, my first one, I was legitimately confused why this player was even on the All-Star team. It's Max Muncy. The one that I chose, the song that I chose was Creep by Radiohead. The second half of the chorus specifically that goes, let me pull it up here, I have it. I think many of us are familiar with this. I'm sure you are, Brig, because of the way you're
laughing.
Oh,
yeah. Intimately.
The second half of the chorus, it goes, "What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here." That's specifically the part that I want.
Because I'm a creep. Oh, that is awesome. Yeah, that is. For those of you that don't know, Postmodern Jukebox does a great, great cover of Creep by Radiohead, and Haley Reinhardt's the one that sings it. And if you haven't heard it, you should, because it is really good.
Maybe that's the version we'll put in the doobly-doo.
Ooh, it would be less appropriate for your example, but it's very good. Okay.
All right.
So my next one was Buster Posey. Posey and I were both born in 1987. So I feel a kinship very loosely with Buster Posey. He was born March of 1987. And so I went to the Billboard Top 100 for 1987 in April, right after the last part of his birthday. You know, his birthday is like the 27th or whatever. So I went to April's Billboard 100 Top or Billboard's Top 100, and I chose the immortal "Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now" by Starship. And you got to start it at 1:03 into the song. It's the chorus. It's rousing, blood boiling. I'm telling you. And he's a wholesome, good old boy from Georgia. So, plus, the whole team has rallied around him, and nothing's going to stop them now, especially this season, because they're crushing it. And I just thought it felt right.
Real quick about the Giants, they used to win in even years, right? It was like 2010, 12, and 14, right? Is
that what it was? Something like that, yeah.
I'm curious if this decade, if it's going to be odd years for them, if they do it this year, 23, 25.
COVID threw it all off. But the lyrics to that song, that especially when it gets started, it says, "And we can build this thing together." And I'll leave you there, but it's so good. Just think of Buster Posey walking up to that song. And by the way, while I was looking for it, I was trying really hard to come up with like a nickname for Buster Posey. Turns out Buster is his nickname. Okay.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know,
Israel, mate.
Yes, it is, Brad. You take it back. You take that back. Buster Posey's real name is Gerald Demp Posey. For those of you that don't know, Gerald Demp Posey. I was like, what's Gerald Buster Posey's nickname? And it was like, Buster. Google was like, you're an idiot. I was like, you're an idiot. So,
no, Google, you're the idiot here.
Yeah, stupid.
All right, very good. Okay, the next one I have, I actually chose kind of a no-brainer here. I chose Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and this was actually Ohtani, and then I was like, what should I do for him? And I just chose, honestly, the first thing that popped in my head immediately after I thought that. And it was Mr. Big Stuff by Gene Knight.
What?
Because what? Ohtani does everything. He should be called Mr. Big Stuff because he's an amazing pitcher, amazing hitter. He's a straight-up five-tool player.
Mr. Big Stuff.
In every sense of the imagination. He is the big stuff.
You're right.
Mr. Big Stuff by Gene Knight.
Oh, man, you got it. That's awesome.
Can you imagine him, like, mild-mannered Shohei Ohtani walking up to – that was the other thing, too, was I just had this image of him, of just mild-mannered Shohei Ohtani walking up to Mr. Big Stuff. Like, what?
That's what I couldn't get out of my head. Oh, man. It's the same with Buster Posey in this overly dramatic power ballad that's not a ballad. It's actually pop, which is weird. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, my next one is also a no-brainer, and it's Mike Trout, His Royal Highness.
Okay.
So I picked Mike Trout, and I think because he is just terrific, right? He's just he's the best baseball player we know right now. So he has to have a song associated with greatness. He just does. So I went with the Toners. The song is called Serious. You do know that song. You just don't know that's what it's called. Because in the 90s, when the Chicago Bulls would take the court, that is the song that they came out to.
Oh, that's the song?
That is the song.
I had no idea.
It's called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, by a group called the Toners.
That's a good one. I like that.
Can you see him walking up to the, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, I like that a lot. It's really fitting because that's one of the best entrance songs for sports, period.
Ever.
That's good. That's good.
Thanks, man.
Like, it kind of makes me a little bit embarrassed for the one I chose for Mike Trout.
Should we take a break or should we do it now?
Yeah, we should. Let's take a break.
Welcome back, baseball family. Sorry for the abrupt teaser we left you with there, but we hope you enjoyed the break as much as we did. Brad is now going to lay upon us his the song he chose for Mike Trout's walk-up.
Okay, so Mike Trout has not played. He only played in 36 games. Yeah, 36 games this season. The last time he played was May 17th. He played two innings that day, and then he left the calf injury. And I read today that he suffered a setback, so there's not really a timetable when he's going to be back. So the song I chose for him is "I Miss You" by Blink 182, because I think we all legitimately miss Mike Trout. I'm killing Brig, literally killing Brig. He has to mute himself because he's having a cough attack. Well, let's take another quick break and let Brig pull himself together.
No, I'm good. I'll be okay. But oh my goodness. Whoo! My left shoulder hurts. I'm having chest pain. I'm like, my fingers went numb for a second. I'm not being flippant. I'm telling you, it actually hurts, but that's probably a different reason. That was hilarious, Brad. I'm never going to stop laughing about that.
No. I hope everybody thinks of Mike Trout now every time they hear "I Miss You" by Blink 182. But that also, like with that, I had to pick a Blink 182 song just because of what you said when we did that mailbag episode, our last one. And for those of you who don't know, Brig said the closest I have ever come to listening to country music is Blink 182.
That's
right. So I had
That's
to take
a fact.
In this list.
That's awesome. Oh, it's so great.
All right. Oh, okay. Now we each have two left. Brig, go ahead with your
All right. Man. Okay, so I picked Freddie Freeman for my fourth pick, and there's a great song. Not very many people know it, but I think it just fits his personality and everything so well. It's by the immortal Dean Summerwind. Dean Summerwind is the artist, and he does a tune called "Parked Out by the Lake." And I'm not going to tease you with anything more than that. I think you should listen to the song start to finish, but I think Freddie Freeman should start walking out at 40 seconds into that song. It's kind of the rousing chorus, but just jump in and listen to that song. We'll put it in the doobly doo, but that's the one I think Freddie Freeman should walk out to. And I wish I could show it. See, this is killing me. I wish I could show it here on the show.
I want to listen to it right now, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. Dude, what if we do this? What if we put together? What if I'll put together a Spotify playlist with all of these songs on it, and we'll link that in the doobly doo.
There we go. That's a great idea.
That's what we'll do. Okay, I got Perfect. It. Y'all are getting Briggs. Taken care of.
Yeah, Briggs got you. He's your Spotify guy. So.
Oh yeah, I love Spotify. All right. What you got?
Okay, my next one. I'm gonna go with. I'm going to go with Nelson Cruz.
Ooh.
I actually really like Nelson Cruz. He had a lot of success when he played in Seattle. Played really well. So I've been a fan of his since he left. Recently got traded to the Rays. And still doing his thing as the Boomstick. That is his nickname. So the song I chose, this is a callback to the early 2000s, to my time when I attempted to learn how to skateboard. And was having no success doing that because I'm afraid of concrete. This song is called "The Boom" by POD. I'm sure a lot of people know the chorus to that, and I think you just play the chorus because here comes the boom, right? The boomstick. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason they call him that because all he does is hit dingers. So
he's trying to be like Big Al.
I know, I know that that's like. I know a lot of people I know call POD like trash rock or trash metal, sure. Or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. But I still think it would be one of those things that gets the people going, you know?
It's still a great song, right? It still does its job.
Yep, it does.
I like it.
Cool. All right, Brake. One more. Who you got?
Chris Bryant's getting my next pick. My final pick goes to Chris Bryant.
Okay.
And we're going to start this little tune at 39 seconds into the song for the chorus. And I think the song's terrific, and it really tells the whole story. I think it's fitting for Chris Bryant at this point in his life. It's by Scotty Sire, Scottie Sire, Scotty Sire, and it's called Sad Song.
Oh, man.
It's called Sad Song. I'm going to pull up the lyrics.
Sad Song. Is it sad because he's struggling or sad because he's leaving Chicago?
Struggling. It's sad because he's struggling. Let's be honest. Okay, so here are the lyrics. This is the chorus. I've got a problem. I'm always so sad. The littlest things get me, well, I can't say that on the show, angry or mad. My life's pretty good. No, I don't have it bad, so it's hard to explain all these feelings I have.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great. You got to go listen to it. But I think Chris Bryant should walk up to that one right now. I can't believe I went last with that one.
Me neither.
Sorry, Denise.
All right,
Brad, what's your last one?
All right, I have Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, there were a lot. I burned through a lot for him. I'll be honest with you. My first thought, because of the way that it goes in Benchwarmers, my first inclination was Gasolina by Yankee Daddy. But no. I was kind of like, no, we don't need that. You know, don't need to play into anything like that. So I decided to switch away. I went through a few other things, and I landed on TNT by AC/DC.
There you go.
Because nobody in the league is TNT like Mando right now.
He dynamite.
Yeah.
He's going to win the fight, too.
He is. Well, and there's the line, too. Lock up your daughters and lock up your wife.
That's right. That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. You're right.
Yep.
So... TNT, I think just the whole song, because the intro to that song is just like, it's so good. The whole
it is instant classic. Okay, baseball family. Well,
no, go ahead, Brick. Sorry.
No, you do. No, you're better at it than I am anyway.
All right, let us know what you think of our walk-up music assignments, or of other players who you would like to assign music to, and the song. Tell us. Anybody from the All-Star roster, anybody even in the league for that matter, if you just want to send us that and tell us the name of the song, we'll share that on the podcast. We'll let you know what other people think. And we can approve or deny as well, because that's what we're going to do with those. It'll be fun.
100%. Also, this Spotify playlist that I'm putting together is not entirely appropriate for your six-year-old. So keep that in mind. There are a couple things. It's not as family friendly as we are. But yeah, keep that in mind. Anyway, don't forget to jump on the shop at 9plusus.com. It's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. That's where you can get the merch we're wearing, except for this. This is my Greenville Drive Copa hat. And one of the things that Brad and I talked about is that if you want us to wear something on the show, send it to us. We'll be happy to wear it on the show. So drop us a line in the mailbag. And, know what sizes we are, whatever. We love snapbacks because they're easy. So we've had people ask about that, and that's the best way to do it. So if that's you and you're in that camp, we would love to support you if it falls in line with what we're doing here. But don't forget to jump on the shop and get yourself something nice. We've got stuff that represents your team, but it doesn't have to be it's not like merchandised apparel. So the reason, let me just disclaimer this. Part of the reason we do our merch the way we do it is so that if you are not a Yankees fan, right? If you're like, I am not wearing Yankees gear to my son's Little League baseball game or my daughter's whatever, but they're the Yankees that day. That's the team they got assigned to, and you got to help coach, right? You can wear our stuff with those team's colors, but it doesn't have to say Yankees on it. Right? It doesn't have to say Mariners on it, We would never put you through wearing Mariners gear ever. So we have our own stuff that is in this team's colors and is representative. So you can still be in the club, but not breaking your morals. We got it.
Well, and on top of that too, like if you want to represent your team on the road, because I know there's a big thing with like, you go like, say like if I go to visit Brig, we go to Braves game and the Braves are playing the Mets. Either of those teams. I'm a Mariners fan. I have D-back stuff. You know, I could buy something that's Braves colors, that's Mets colors, and wear it. Like Brig said, you know, not necessarily represent the team, but the colors. But also, I could wear my Mariners stuff, and it's not that big of a deal. I could wear my Seattle shirt.
That's right.
It's not like I'm not going to stick out because I'm wearing a Griffey jersey or whatever. So,
right.
Lots of applications for you there, recommendations, if you will. But don't forget, you can also jump on baseballtogether.com. You can listen to the podcast. You can watch the podcast. We have switched to StreamYard. Some of you might have noticed that our camera angles are a little bit different. And maybe the sound of the podcast a little bit different as well. But we switched to StreamYard because it makes things a whole lot easier for us. And in the end, it makes it so that we can get on YouTube a whole lot faster, a lot easier as well. So the podcast is up on YouTube for sure every week now. Also on baseballtogether.com where you can watch it. But baseball family, don't forget to like, subscribe, and rate and review the podcast. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think. Drop a line in the mailbag, like Briggs said. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, I always say Snyder marks, but we love them. Go ahead and send them on over. We will respond to you. We'll give you a shout-out on the show. But baseball family, this has been a lot of fun doing Walk the Music. We love it. And we will catch you next week.